Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, Walmart has several new listings for Studio Series figures. We check out an upgrade kit for Generation Select Star Convoy, and Takara Tommy announces their new Raiden project. Today is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019, and this is episode 352 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that's very proud of NASA's recent all-female spacewalk. But let's not forget the pioneering work of the Earth Defense Command's Marissa Fairborn. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, let's talk Transformers.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's good do enough it for me.
For at least 45 minutes.
We'll see. All right. As always, we start off by thanking our Donatrions, you lovely people out there who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for your support, and you help us keep this show running. We always appreciate anyone who's willing to chip in and help us keep the lights on here. And if you'd like to join the ranks of our Donatrions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And if you'd like to buy some merchandise, you can also go to our Tee Public store, and that's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also check out friend of the show, K-Girls, store at her Tee Public store, tpublic.com/user/superstarK. And K-Girl's going to be at TFCon this weekend, so be sure to check out the stuff she's got. Maybe throw an art commission her way and say hi. Sadly, none of us will be there. So, K-Girl, we're going to miss you.
What is it that we're having, Daryl?
No.
Because we're not there?
We're having a party.
We introduced Daryl to a new acronym.
FOMO, Daryl. FOMO. That was what we were looking for.
Oh. Okay. YOLO. Did I use it right?
No.
Oh. You mean that's a different one? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Anyway, hope everyone is going to have a good time at TFCon this weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Hope it's a good party. Yoshi's been to the DC one before. He said it was really up there with one of his favorites. So hope everyone has a great time. While you're there, maybe you want to fill out the form for our Transmission 6th anniversary contest, because that is wrapping up the end of this week. So when TFCon ends, we will stop taking entries for our Transmission 6th anniversary contest. So you've just got less than a week to fill out the form. Go to transmissionspodcast.com/6 years, the number 6 and years. And when you fill out that form, tell us one of your favorite moments from any Transmissions podcast over the last 6 years, and the winners will be selected at random from all the entries you receive by Sunday, October 27th. The grand prize winner will receive... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we have 18 entries so far.
Wow. So it's really, you've got a really good chance of winning if you enter now. The grand prize winner will receive a Respect the Prime Decepticon Purple Vinyl LP, a Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD, and one Transmissions t-shirt of their choosing. And then several runners up will receive Respect the Prime Constructed Cold EP CD. So thanks to Jimmers for the prizes, and thanks to Jeremy for donating his vinyl record there. Last chance, last call for the entries. We'll mention it again on alt mode just to remind you.
So it's Charles not exactly, yeah, it's the penultimate last
All right. Well, let's start off the show and get into some toy news.
All right. This week, I got a couple topics to discuss, and the first one's really quick, but I thought it was kind of cool because I'd never heard of this company before, and I don't know what else they might do, but this is an upgrade kit from 115 or 115 Utopia, and it's a upgrade kit for Siege Impactor, and it's not a lot of stuff. It's a couple bits of plastic. I can't imagine this is going to be expensive at all, but all it really does is it fills some gaps. Now, if you have Siege Impactor, or you've handled him or looked at him in a box or something like that, you'll notice that his legs have like gaping holes on them, and they're not really there for any particular reason. So, aesthetic wise, anyway, they're not used in transformation. They're just there because they needed to save plastic and they didn't cover up the outside of them. So they're just massive gaping holes that really get in the way when you're trying to take like a good picture or you're posing them or whatever. They're really, they draw your eye. So this kit is going to provide you with some pieces of plastic that are going to cover those holes. And that looks pretty good. Now there's two different sets you can get because there's two different impactors, and you can get one if you like a gray look, something that's kind of contrast to the yellow of the leg, so it'll kind of stand out, or you can get one that'll match the yellow. And that's also pretty cool. Also, there's two little pieces of plastic that'll fill in. Looks like the back of the figure. There's a couple of small holes there that look like they need to be filled. Plus, there's a couple other pieces of plastic that look like they go on to extend a gun. Just looking at some of the pictures here that are provided, and doesn't really show you what these other bits of plastic do, but they definitely look like they're gun bits. So yeah, take a look at that if you're interested. I know I am about the leg bits, but I was also kind of hoping that because Siege Impactor, the single pack, comes with this weird ass head, the comic head, that they'd give you an option of new head for it, so you could get one or the other, or be able to change the head, but it doesn't. So I'm still stuck. I'm looking for a way to get the IDW head. But yeah, anyway, so that's pretty cool and fun. Next up, though, is something that came out this week and straight from Hasbro. It's a new listing for some new Studio Series figures, and these will be at Walmart, or they're starting to show up in the Walmart computer system. So that's kind of fun. First up, we're seeing a listing for Studio Series Deluxe Roadbuster. Now, before you get excited, remember these are Studio Series, so this is the movie line Roadbuster. And that means it's the race car, the NASCAR. I think Roadbuster was the green one. If you're into NASCAR, it's the number 88 Dale Earnhardt Jr. car. So,
is that the Target exclusive one?
There was a Target car, so I don't know what you're could be referring to.
I just remember there was a Target, there was a Target exclusive movie car.
I'm assuming that it was the Target car, which is not this one. No. So I'm trying to remember who that was as well, but he was the one who had like the belly and stuff. And when he transformed, it was really weird robot who had a big belly. So look for that. Also in the computer listing, you see, Deluxe Shatter, the jet version. This is a triple changer that is getting two Deluxe series toys in Studio Series and one for each mode because they forgot how to make triple changers. Also, you're going to find the Studio Series Deluxe Jeep BB, so Bumblebee. So this is kind of neat. We don't have any pictures, but this is going to be like, I think it's the World War II Jeep that we've seen pictures of before.
It's not going to be the one from the beginning of the movie?
I hope so, myself, but we have no pictures. So I remember seeing something about a World War II vehicle, but it might be from the Bumblebee movie. I don't know a lot about this one myself, so there are no pictures. So just keep a lookout for that. And lastly, we've got Studio Series Leader Overload. And this is one of the parts of Devastator, I believe. So I'm not remembering the names of the ones that were revealed at Fan Expo, but I believe one was Overload. We're going to get some confirmation soon. We're going to talk about it in convention news a little bit more, but we do have Hasbro is going to make an appearance at a couple cons that they don't usually appear at. So we'll likely see them and get some pictures from those conventions. All right. I'm talking about movie line stuff and about a small little add-on kit to a figure that I'm not sure either one of you have yet. So did any of you guys, either one of you have any opinions on any of this stuff I just mentioned?
I mean, I just want to reiterate my frustration that they didn't make a triple changer out of Shatter and the other one. I forget her the name.
Yeah, Dropkick.
Yeah.
I'm there with you.
The Jeep Bumblebee might be cool. I'm curious to see what that looks like. So,
yeah, I mean, that's probably the most exciting one out of the bunch to me because that's not really often a form that we see Bumblebee in.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
The add-on kit for Impactor is a big old meh for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe if you got the figure, then you'd see the holes and you'd be like, I wish there was something to fill those holes. And yeah.
I do like add-on kits like that where it's not anything really big. It's not expensive.
No,
it's just this, whoever was behind this is like, I really don't like this and I have a way to fix it.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
And on the Studio Series stuff, we will probably have pictures next week if I'm suspecting what we're going to talk about in convention news. I think they'll probably reveal some.
Cool.
I do wonder how much that upgrade kit for Impactor is going to cost. They didn't mention a cost.
Or, yeah. I mean, I'll be shocked if it's more than $15. So
yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing to it. And I mean, if they even like, that's combining both colors as well. So, I mean, if they divided it up and said you can choose with the yellow or the gray as well. So, you know, that might even make it even cheaper. So there's really not a lot to this at all. So, yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had to talk about this week, guys. It's a really slow week. It's like not a lot was happening. But Jeremy, what do you got?
It was an incredibly slow week. I have another add-on kit. This one is for Star Convoy, the Generation Select Star Convoy, not the Masterpiece. And this is by Shockwave Lab, and it gives you an LED matrix as well as some leg filling pieces. So they're the company that does all these LED add-on kits, and this one's pretty neat. It just fits in his chest, and it's a matrix that the middle glows. And, you know, not that much to it. I would expect, because of the electronics, this was probably going to be in the maybe closer to $50, I'm guessing.
$50?
I don't know. I mean,
I'd maybe say $25. Yeah.
I don't know. But it looks neat. I don't have a Star Convoy, so I'm not the market for this, but I would think people that are, you know, it doesn't look like it impedes transformation or anything. It just kind of fits in there in this chest. Mm-hmm. I think it's neat.
Did Star Convoy have the Matrix?
I did not watch that part of Japanese G1.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Charles?
I would guess he did.
Tell us.
No, the Japanese exclusive shows are a big blank spot for me. But since Star Convoy is basically just a repaint of the Prime Wars, Power of the Primes, Optimus Prime, I guess it'll fit in that figure too.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the remold.
Yeah, I just wonder why they didn't make the Matrix blue. Isn't the light in the Matrix usually blue?
I thought it was yellow. I mean, in the movie it's blue, but wasn't Beast Wars it was yellow? I don't know. The more we talk, the more wrong we're going to be and more
continuously losing cred as the seconds tick by.
Okay, blue.
The next thing I have is just a quick note that some Flame Toys Fry model kits have been spotted at retail. They have been spotted at a Barnes & Noble in Milford, Connecticut. And this is the IDW Megatron Autobot version and the Shatterglass Optimus Prime, which I believe is the... it's their kind of stylized Optimus Prime, not the IDW Optimus Prime, but in the purple Shatterglass colors. So if you're into those model kits, Megatron will set you back $50 and Optimus Prime $40. So I won't ask you, Daryl, if you're interested in this, because I know you hate plastic.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it,
Charles,
so much.
What about you? Are you interested in these kits?
Yeah, I mean, based on what I know is coming in trips to the store this week, I'm having a bit of FOMO myself. I think I want to pick one of these. If I can find one of these, I'd like to pick it up, yeah. And find the time to put it together.
JoJo?
That's the kicker.
The Megatron, not the Shattered Glass Prime, the Autobot Megatron.
Just go check out your nearest Barnes & Noble. That's where I got my Optimus Prime.
Well, I do have one of those nearby.
All right. Well, what do you have this week, Charles?
All right. So I got a couple of things. First up, you guys know how much I love statues. We've got... one from Prime One Studio. This is a Bumblebee movie Soundwave statue. Interesting. Well, it's, you know, Soundwave, but Soundwave from the beginning of the Bumblebee movie with Ravage. Ravage looks a little more dog-like than I'd like there. Not quite as jaguarish as I'd expect, but. I think it's a good Soundwave figure there. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the stylized from the movie aesthetic, but definitely has the G1 highlights in there. So I wonder how poseable it is. I mean, they've got him in the one pointing pose. I wonder how much you can move his arms and legs there. But yeah, it's a nice statue. And looks like it's they've got it posed next to their other statues with Optimus Prime and Bumblebee there, just as an example. So I know you guys love collecting statues. So any appeal for this guy?
No, I will agree with you that Ravage looks very much like a wolf. But I just did a search for a screen cap of the movie, and that is pretty much exactly like how he looked on the screen. Here, I'll put a link. Here. Oh, wait. That link didn't work. But anyway, just trust me. He looked like other than that, I think the figure looks great. It's I'm not in the market for these. I'm not one of those that collects these statues, but yeah, I mean, I'm sure there is a market.
Mm-hmm. So it does look like the eyes light up maybe for Soundwave. No, it looks like it does in the
or could in be the pictures.
Yeah. Daryl, what do you think of this guy?
I think the paint job is phenomenal. I'm looking at the detail in the paint job, and there's paint wear, you know, in the places where you'd expect there to be paint wear from just being moving around, you know, and that's really good. I was hoping to see another tape in the tape deck there. Doesn't look, it just looks like it's got like Greeble in there, and that's fine. It looks cool. I mean, it looks really good. It looks like a G1 CGI movie, you know, aesthetic, and that's exactly what you would expect. The Ravage doesn't really, you know, bug me all that much. It's got a little too much red on it, but that's what's from the movie. Then that's, you know, the way it was. But yeah, I like it. It's not for me, but I do. I like it a lot. Seeing the Prime and the Bumblebee with it as well, that's really cool.
There's a bust of Ironhide.
Mm-hmm.
Between Optimus and Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. It reminds me of the really good parts of that movie.
Yep, those first 5 to 10 minutes.
The rest of the movie was good too. It's just, you know, those first few moments were like, okay, here we go. This is how you do a movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I have a second topic. This is coming out of Japan. We've got a Raiden project announcement from Takara Tomy. So the official Takara Tomy Twitter account shared images revealing their participation in a special exhibition, a Railway Story in the Sky in Japan. And I guess since it's focusing on trains, they're using this as a way to announce a new project featuring Raiden, their six train combiner from G1. So this exhibition is involving the cooperation of seven companies that are all Japanese train companies, you know, the Tokyo Metro, Tokyo Metropolitan Bureau of Transportation, a bunch of other ones. And Takara will basically be showing off Raiden, since it's their six train bots, as part of this exhibition. And they appeared originally in the G1 Headmasters cartoon. So they didn't make it here in the States. They were, you know, since we haven't really, you know, we left our trains in the 19th century. Like, I don't think we've updated our trains since then in the U.S., but, you know, in Japan, they've got lots of cool trains and bullet trains and everything. So their train bots are very relevant there. So they're also using this exhibition. Takara is using this exhibition to announce a new project, which they haven't really gone into details to what that is. Whether it's a reissue of the original G1 combiner and the train bots, or a new versions of them, like a generations updated version of the train bots, or maybe a masterpiece version, Titan class train bots, Titan class Raiden. So it's not really clear, but This exhibition will be on the 52nd floor of the Mori Art Center Gallery and Sky Gallery in Tokyo from December 3rd to March 22nd. So if you are in Tokyo within those 3 months, you can, or I guess 4 months, it'll all be, you can check out that exhibition. Let us know if you do get there, send us some pictures, because I don't think we're going to make it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess I'll leave it open to speculation. Daryl, what are your thoughts on what this mysterious new Raiden project could be from Takara?
Well, I mean, right off the top of my head, the easiest thing to do is just reissue the original bots, and that would be kind of cool. But it's not anything new. It's just kind of showing off something that they've done before. If they wanted to update them to kind of current trains, because a lot of those old trains from Raiden were based on like early 80s or late 70s designs. And there's still heads and tails above the trains used in North America, but you know, they're still old in Japanese standards. So if they were going to update them, and they've got all these train companies coming in, it seems more likely that they're going to update the design and put current trains in for a new Raiden. I don't see it being a Titan class figure, although that would be cool, but something that that's, you know, six figures and that can combine generally leads to something that big. So it could be something smaller, right? Because even if you combine six deluxe class figures, you're still getting something pretty monstrous. So I can see it being something smaller and easier to manage, but because you don't want people coming to this thing. You said it's what, on the 32nd floor? 52nd floor.
52nd, yeah.
So you don't want people coming up to the 52nd floor and then having a tough time leaving it because they're carting this giant box out of the building, right? So or you've got to get it up there, right?
Well, they would be selling whatever it is. It's probably just gonna be an announcement. And maybe like prototype.
Maybe. But
it could be part of the Japanese Earthrise figures.
Could be. But yeah. I don't know. I think it's something that's going to be a modern design. It just seems likely. Just with all the Japanese train companies coming in. That's probably why they're allowing them to use to come in and be in the same, you know, to use Raiden again. Personally, I would like to see a reissue of the old design because I think that's really iconic. But yeah, I think it'll be something new.
All right, Jeremy, do you have any competing speculations?
I don't know. I mean, I'm still kind of thinking it could be a Titan class figure. Devastator was six figures, but I think more likely it would be something kind of in the Generations line where it would come over to through Hasbro with Generation Selects.
Yeah, it seems like Hasbro is using their Hasbro Pulse to provide a pipeline for collectors to get access to Japanese stuff more easily directly through them. So that would be a nice thing to show up in the Pulse store. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we've got about a month and a half to find out. So December 3rd is when the exhibition opens. So I guess we'll know by then what this new project is, or maybe we'll have more information. All right, well, that was my toy topics, and that'll wrap up the toy section. So let's move on to some trips to the store. This is where we show off all the amazing Transformers merchandise we got this week. This is going to be a video that we put on YouTube so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition. We also have the audio right here, so you can listen and hear us describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
Let's get into the stuff we got this week. I'm going to start us off because it's a light week for me, and I know my colleagues here have some cool stuff they're going to show off. So I'm going to go first so they don't make me look bad. But I got a comic. This is Transformers number 13, the new IDW series comic that started this year. This is the cover by friend of the show, Donatrion Winston Chan. We picked his cover as our pick of the issue last week when we reviewed it. So it doesn't hurt that it's also the cover A, that so it's the one you're most likely to get and pick up at your comic shop. So check out Transformers number 13 for the exclusive Winston Chan cover. Very awesome. Great job, Winston. Really like your work. And I hope this leads to more official Transformers art for you. So that's what I got this week. So I will hand it over to Jeremy.
All right. Well, I want to start off with, I got something via Canada Post, Daryl.
Oh.
I was like, what is Daryl sending me? And then I realized, oh, it's not coming from Daryl. It's coming from the Cybertronic Spree.
Yay.
I backed their Kickstarter and I got the physical rewards, which was the CD, some stickers. These have their logo and they're nice and shiny. Not quite up to Toy Hack standards, but you know, it's nice. And then get the CD out. The CD just has a matrix on it. It's upside down. I haven't played it yet because I have the digital version as well. And then it also has this little booklet that has, thanks. And it has pictures of all of them. I'm wondering when they're in the recording studio recording, do they actually wear the costumes?
What costumes?
Oh, right. Yeah. That is actually how they look.
Yeah.
You could be in Toronto and just see this Unicron just walking down the street and you're like, oh, hey, what's up?
What's up, Chaos?
Thought you were
Bringer.
A lot bigger.
Yeah. So anyway, that was, I knew it was coming. I just didn't know exactly when. So that was a nice surprise.
Is yours signed? Mine was signed in the liner notes by all the bandmates.
I don't know. Didn't look that.
What closely. Level did you back them at for the signed copy, Charles?
Mine is not signed.
Well, I didn't get the cassette that Alpha Magnus got. I just got the stickers. Yeah,
the cassette is a specific level.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, but I did not get it signed. I did not do the Charles level. But this is another, probably my last New York Comic Con. I can't remember if it's the last or not, but I picked this up at the show. I haven't had time to do anything with it, but this is the aforementioned on the show, the Flame Toys Megatron model kit, the IDW version. It's very much a representation of the Alex Milne Megatron design, and reflection is horrible on this box. But yeah, I'm looking forward to putting this together and whenever I can get time. So, Daryl, what completely unrelated thing do you have to show this week?
So, you're done? You didn't get to the comic book store? I wanted to start
I
with
did
my
not
comic.
Get to the I didn't get to the comic store.
Okay, well, I have a comic. This is the Winston Chan cover as well of Transformers 13. Show it without some glare here. So there you are. This is just a really nice cover, and it just happens to be a buddy of ours that listens to the show. So well done, Winston. Well done. I wanted to mention, back when we went to TFCon, Charles and I picked up the Iron Factory Tarn. Now, the arms on him have a specific issue, and I don't plan on getting the rest of them because I just wanted Tarn. But the replacement arms come with additional figures. So I wrote to the company that sold me this and said, hey, I told them what's going on, and they sent me the replacement kit. So,
oh, nice. Did you have to be like, cool. Do you know who I am?
Pardon me?
Yeah. Were you like, do you know who I am?
I sent them the clip from the trips to the store. So, but so I did also did. Send them pictures. I did. I big dogged them. but no, they were really good about sending me these out. And I did offer to pay for shipping, but they didn't want me to. So this is from ages 3 and up. They sent them out. It was really easy to change it out. There's two screws in the front. There's one in the back. You pull them out. You put the new arms in. You close it up. Put the screws in, and you're done. And the arms work right now. So, yeah. So, nice and tight. Awesome. And this figure is just awesome. And it actually, the replacement kit comes with a new mask, too. It's actually a little bit bigger. I don't know whether anybody had seen that before. But, yeah. It's pretty cool.
He needs a big mask.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. This is what Jeremy was alluding to. I also picked up the IDW Megatron Autobot version, but I put mine together. I put it together with my daughter, and it took me about 3 hours. So she made it through about an hour of that, and then she left. She's like, this is boring. And I said, I understand. So, but this is wicked. I love this thing. It's super poseable, and it definitely resembles the IDW design. All angles of this thing look fantastic. I want to put a PSA out there. Make sure you get everything out of the little bags when you open it up, because I threw away the eyes. Luckily enough, they were still in the bag when I went through the garbage looking for them, so I got them back. But they were in the garbage, so... Make sure you check everything in the bags there.
And those would be a tiny piece.
Very tiny. Yeah, they were on a sprue, but yeah. Yeah.
Rip out your optics.
Yeah. So he didn't even get a chance. The optics were gone. He does have an ab crunch. It's in there, and it's pretty good. So I'm really impressed with this thing. And he does come with a pair of swappable hands. So, I mean, this is a full-on action figure. I question the reflective sticker on the chest. I may, in fact, take that off and just kind of put use a marker to kind of color in the squiggles.
Does the plastic have the squiggles?
I think it does. Yeah.
This doesn't actually show it without the sticker.
Yeah, so I think it does. But...
Are the stickers pre-applied, or you put them on? You have to put them
on. You have to put them on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but it's totally worth it. It's a really fun thing. I showed my daughter because the neck is really well jointed, but I was like, Megatron's in a bad mood. No, it's he's got a really fun neck joint, and you can pose him, and it's just a really cool figure. It looks awesome. So, yeah, that was the one Flame Toys model kit that I was looking forward to, and I'm glad I got them.
You think you do more?
Well, I definitely want the Optimus for it. It looks good next to it. It'll look good next to it, and I think I have it already, so I just have to put it together. I got to dig it out. It's back here somewhere. So, that's the one. Oh. I do have that, yeah.
Yeah, on the Optimus, I warn you, the little earpieces just pop off at the slightest touch.
I might use some glue on that. I didn't use any glue on the Megatron, so yeah. The last thing that I wanted to mention is I bought my first Siege MicroMaster. I've been avoiding them, and I bought one just because it didn't seem like I was going to be able to get it any other way. This is Siege Countdown.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, I know what that means. Dun, 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 dun.
I got Omega Supreme. This guy.
Wow.
This guy's a tank.
Literally.
So many jokes.
And a rocket ship.
Yeah. Yeah, this is pretty good. I've transformed the rocket just to, because it's pretty easy to do. I haven't got the space right now to make the actual full base, but like the joints, I love it. These joints are just phenomenal. Yeah.
You know, we've given the Siege figures a lot of grief on the whole like extra paint stuff, but I really like the burn marks by the different holes.
Yeah.
Or the effects. I think that actually looks pretty good.
He comes with a whole bunch of effect bits, right? So you can plug them in to his arm and his stuff, and so you can get that kind of thing going on. It looks really good. And there's a bunch more of those. So, and he's got the little the storage in the legs, so you can put them in there. And that's where I've been putting Countdown, because if I said I'm gonna lose that, so I just throw them in there and close it up. But yeah, this thing's a beast, and I love it. I don't know where I'm putting it, but it's it's not Unicron, so I don't have to worry about that. But yeah, this thing is just awesome. I love the sheer size of it. And actually, I saw somebody, and I cannot remember the name of them, but somebody did a really cool picture today and showed the rocket launch pad with would have been. I can't remember the set. I think it was just, I don't know, Combiner Wars Skylynx in rocket mode on the launch pad. And I thought that looked really cool. So shout out to that guy, whoever you are. You that was a really good idea. So I might borrow that that for a picture at some point. But yeah, well done. But this is just an awesome figure. And it's going to go up on the shelf with all the other Titan figures now. So.
Looks big enough to just sit in front of your microphone and have its own podcast.
He does. He just won't say much.
Yeah. Not the best.
Yeah. Podcast. He's cool. But yeah, I think there's somebody did something with the head at some point. So there might be something going on with some add-on kits for the head. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he's really chunky and there's not a lot of transformation bits to do. The whole chest here comes out. So you can open up this here. Got some tit missiles, and then all of this just comes out, and there's your tank. This is just, you just throw this away. That's garbage.
So yeah. are the
expensive garbage?
Yeah, are the track pieces compatible with the Earthrise tracks?
I don't know. I don't have any Earthrise tracks, Jeremy.
Well, obviously, but I couldn't remember if they said, and you're the toy guy.
I think so. Were. Yes. I think all the track stuff is. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. If you're looking for them, pick them up. I recommend not waiting for like an Ollie's thing, right? If you're out there and you're looking for them at Ollie's, right? That kind of thing. Don't like Predaking up there. Did Predaking ever go to Ollie's?
Nope.
No. Right, the last one was Trypticon, and we're into the second one since then. That they've caught on. I don't expect these guys to go to Ollie's. So
Toys R Us only closed once. It's not going to close every year.
That's right. So don't be waiting for these things to go to Ollie's. They're big, they're expensive, they're worth the money. Buy them if you can find them on sale. Buy them. That's about it. But I'm done.
All right. That's an awesome way to end trips to the store this week. Thanks, Daryl. Yeah, that Countdown, awesome figure.
you buy this MicroMaster, you can get free Omega Supreme with it.
You do. Yep.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and let's move on to convention news.
All right. First off, we're going to be talking about Hasbro's European vacation. They are going to be at a number of conventions in Europe over the coming weeks, and they're going to be talking about a bunch of their brands, but we only care about Transformers. At the Paris Comic Con, Friday, October 25th, that is coming up. They are going to be people from the Star Wars and Power Rangers brand and design teams, but they also say that they're going to have the latest updates from the Transformers brand as well. And this is where I'm wondering if they're going to show off some of the studio series at some of these. Probably more likely at this next one, MCM Comic Con in London, Saturday, October 26th. This is at Center Stage, 3:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. And it has John Fraser from the Transformers Global brand team. And I would imagine this is where any big announcements are going to be made. And then at Luca Comics and Games, Friday, November 1st, they're going to have Ricky Purdon, Director of Talent Relations for Marvel Entertainment, and Hasbro's Dan Yun from the Marvel brand team talking about some Marvel stuff. But it also says they're going to hear the latest updates from the Transformers brand. So I imagine whatever was announced the 25th and 26th, they're going to also be talking about and showing off here. Mm-hmm. So what, if you are in Europe, we know we have a number of European listeners, and you're going to be at these shows. You know, let us know what you thought, especially if you get to see anything that was announced in person.
Where is the Luca one?
I have no idea.
Luca.
Is that a place?
It's a song.
We're just dumb North Americans. Luca Comics and Games is a comic and gaming convention in Luca, Tuscany.
Hmm.
Hey, Tuscany. Ah, that's fun. I want to go to that one now.
So that would be in Italy.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where Tuscany is.
Tuscano.
So, back over here in America, we have a couple exclusive figures for TFCon DC. Ages 3 and up is going to have the Ocular Max PS01R Sphinx Regenesis. And this is a pink and green recolor of the Ocular Max Pink, or Ocular Max Sphinx. And the other one is the Chosen Prime, which has the G2 Planet X Vulcan, which is a, you know, that's their Grimlock figure, and it's got a blue color scheme. And I believe, is this like Fall of Cybertron Grimlock?
Yes.
Yes.
It kind of, yeah, it looked like that. So it's, you know, a nice blue T-Rex, and the other one is Mirage. Oh, sorry. The other one is obviously Mirage. So, Daryl, you were kind of upset on Twitter about people not getting the color scheme of the Sphinx.
No, I wasn't upset. I was looking at Twitter when the announcement came out, and I was like, oh, they finally announced something like an exclusive for the show, because I've been waiting, and it's the week of now.
It's always the week of.
And so I'm looking at Twitter, and people are getting really upset. They're like, why such a abysmal color scheme, and what the hell, and why blah blah blah, and I had to step in and just say, like, just make a quick post. And I didn't direct it at anybody. I just said, hey, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, discussing the image, and here you go. It's actually based on an unreleased design from G2. Here's the picture. It's from the Legacy art book. You know, you can actually reference it if you've got the art book. So I flipped to the page, I took a picture and put that in my tweet. And then I put a tweet of, or a picture of the actual, you know, the exclusive as well. And I just let her fly. And it caught a lot of likes and stuff. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's just, you know, you can not like the design, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like the design, but there's a reason for it, right? They don't just arbitrarily grab the, you know, the weird-ass paint scheme. Like, yeah, it's a weird paint scheme, but it's G2.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it and I immediately was like, oh, hey, it's another G2. I mean,
yeah.
And you look at their logo and that's obviously what they're going for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's got a crocodile or alligator on the side of a race car, you know, like what, why? Right. So it's just, it's weird. You know, I get it. It's weird. The discussion since then has definitely shifted from, you know, the paint scheme to why the terrible, terrible head on him. Why couldn't they do a different head? And I'm like, well, that's, you know, I haven't stepped into those waters, but I can mention it now. It's like, this is the design, you know, and that's the way that this figure is, you know? So if you want to have a different design, you know, that's all well and good. But if they're just remaking or recoloring an existing design,
right?
You know, they're not going to make a brand new figure for TFCon. This is probably TFCon.
90% profit at this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, you've got the existing Sphinx, which would have paid for itself. Because it's the masterpiece scaled Mirage that's out there, right? If you have any other masterpiece scaled Mirage and it's not a Sphinx, then that one is not worth very much money. An actual Sphinx is worth money if you've got one. Then they've got the animation colors one, which is just a repaint, just in like less detailed colors. It's just flat colors. Then they've got the two exclusives from a couple years ago. One was from Toronto, one was from Chicago, and those are the like in mid transition. So half of him is in clear plastic and half of him is painted, and you can tell the difference between him because of the line, like the transition line going through. One's red and one's blue. And I can't remember which is which, but one of them means that you got it from Chicago. One of them means you got it from Toronto. And those were numbered as well, which make them a little bit more valuable. Now you've got this one. And this is now the fifth iteration of this design. There might actually be a sixth. I just can't remember. But yeah, this is nothing but profit for them now. It costs them money to make them. And that's it, you know? So they're not going to put any more money into this. They don't need to. It'll sell. And they may, in fact, be numbered. They've, you know, all the ones that they've put out that were in convention exclusives have been numbered. And that's, when it comes to an exclusive figure, a numbered one is always more valuable than one that's not. So, yeah. You know, people that are thinking, I don't want this, you know, it's disgusting, why would I want this? It's, if it's numbered, pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Charles, you have any comments on this?
It's not for me, but I do appreciate the love for G2 color schemes. I mean, the G2 color schemes are pretty out there, and it is very distinctive and something, you know, something nice to display on your shelf if you like loud colors.
Cool. What do you guys think of the Planet X Vulcan? And Daryl, you don't have the original one, do you?
No, I don't. Oh. I mean, I have the Hasbro release of the Fall of Cybertron Grimlock, but not from Planet X, no.
I mean, I have, I think, actually, thanks to Yoshi, I have the G2 Grimlock. Or was it from you, Daryl?
Nope. It would have been Yoshi.
Okay. So, and it was my first actual G1 Grimlock that I have other than the Masterpiece. And I think this blue is much nicer. It's, like, not as glaring, where, like, a lot of the G2 stuff is kind of glaring color scheme. But I just think this, it works really well with this figure. I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I do like this color scheme on this figure.
It looks good. This one, however, has been done before with many different types of Grimlocks. So if you like the Fall of Cybertron design and you've been a collector of Planet X, then this is something that's pretty niche to you and you might want to pick it up. The story here that we're looking at does also say that this one is limited to 120 pieces. So hopefully it does say that there is a, like, these are numbered. That would be really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just harped on it pretty big for the Sphinx figure, but, You can't underestimate having a number on a like a limited quantities thing. They can say limited quantities all they want, right? But something that they make 2 billion of is still limited, right? It's limited right. to 2 billion, right? So having something that has an actual number on it is, you know, that's key for a collectible.
Yeah, you know, pretty much anything in the like hundreds or below, if it's numbered, you know, it's a safe bet that, you know, you can get it and you can get your money back if you sell it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for convention news this week.
All right. And we will finish up the show with some feedback. And this week we just have one voicemail from friend of the show, Dinobot Maximize.
Hey guys, this is your friend Tom. I'm back for another voicemail for you. I just want to go off on your recommendations on the Commander figure for the TFC toys. We've spoken about this before, but what were y'all's thoughts of them going in some company doing the Devil's Due comic series back where we had several of the Transformers G.I. Joe crossovers, like in the we had a several of the Autobots and Decepticons were turned into G.I. Joe and Cobra vehicles. I think mostly Cobra, though. I think Prime was like a his tank, and a couple of the others were like Ratchet, and others were the other vehicles and stuff, and Sideswipe and Sunstreak were also those little, I can't think of the exact name of the truck it was that truck you saw on most the episodes of the show, but they had the four missiles on the back. Would you like to see some of those done, or even some of the other images from the same company from their series of them getting done? They were really well done. I mean, they were some good books and some good characters. Note, this is also the series that we got the Serpento R figure from for the club or whatever. But what are your thoughts on that? Would you like to see more of those done? I personally would love, because I would love to see Prime as one of the Cobra tanks that he was in that comic. But keep up the great show, guys, and we'll hope to hear from you soon.
All right. Well, I have to confess, I don't really have a lot of love for G.I. Joe. And I do think it's a neat idea to use G.I. Joe vehicles as alt modes for Transformers. So, you know, that could be fun. It's just not something that I'm really into. Daryl, what do you think? Is this anything you're interested in?
Well, not really. I've never read the Devil's Due Transformers versus G.I. Joe comics, so my knowledge of the what they were was or what they, you know, they turned into is very limited. I can't imagine Optimus Prime turning into a Cobra vehicle, but that's, you know, like I said, I have no experience with that. I assume he would turn into a Joe vehicle. Just seems the way it would work. But anything that they would have to do would have to, they'd have to get the Joe community to come in and kind of work with it. Or like they'd have to be involved and they'd have to know what's happening so that they can partake, because Transformers community is one thing, but if you're not, you know, if you're not coming in at it from both communities and both fan bases, then you're limiting your audience. And
yeah. It has there's to be a like lot of, the Ectotron.
Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly. So there's a lot of that, and you want to be able to hit both communities and make them both aware of it so that they can both buy it. Because if you're only limiting, or if you're only waiting for the Transformer community to kind of save your ass on this, then, you know, you're wasting your time. I don't know. I think, you know, there's some neat vehicles in Joe, but I think Joe's better off suited maybe crossing over with Mask or something like that. I don't know. Joe's a dead property right now, and that's unfortunate. And I've been trying to figure out a way to revive it, but everything hitching its ride to Transformers, we saw that in Revolution, and that just, it didn't work. So, something had to be done, could be done properly with that. But I just don't like the idea of just hitching its ride to, or the ride to Transformers and saying, you know, fix me.
Mm-hmm. Just to give a short summary. I did collect all the Devil's Due Transformers G.I. Joe crossovers. I believe it's been a while since I read them, but I believe in the first one, Cobra discovered all the Transformers in their dormant state. So they re-engineered them to be Cobra vehicles. So they had both, they basically had all the Autobots and Decepticons under their control for like the first issue. And then, you know, it took a while for the Autobots and Decepticons to break out of that control. Like Cobra Commander was carrying Megatron along as his personal pistol. And like Megatron would be commenting like, you know, when I break free of your control, I'm basically going to step on you. And the Cobra Commander was like, well, you know, you're working for me now. So, so that's why basically Optimus Prime and all the Autobots also turned into Cobra vehicles as well as the Decepticons. So,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's also like 10, 15 years ago for those crossovers. So, you know, it's a little bit past the time where that might be a hot thing, but I do remember they've already done like didn't they have that snow vehicle? Was it the Shadow?
I think Armada. It was
Snowcat.
Yeah.
Armada or Energon, one of those. Series.
So that's already an example of what they could do, but yeah. Jeremy, you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I would like to see them maybe slip in some alt modes that resemble G.I. Joe figures. Like if you did a new character that was a plane that resembled the Sky Striker, you know, kind of backdoor pilot some G.I. Joe stuff and just see what the fandom's reaction is before kind of going whole hog. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what they did when they did, you know, when they had Scoop with Target Masters and it did well. So they, you know, worked out how to do Target Masters and Headmasters and stuff.
Well, they did that. Legends class one. That was the repaint of Power Glide into what I think he was just a Cobra Jet.
It was, right? A Cobra, mm-hmm, Rattler.
Yeah, there you, yeah, go. And that, I mean, they didn't come right out and say that it's a Joe vehicle, but I mean, I think it had the decal on it and everything.
Yeah, it had the decal on it.
Shut up.
You said it.
Yeah, I think, you know, with Ecto-1, they energized, you know, well, they had the 35th anniversary of both properties, and the Ghostbuster fans were just as into it as the Transformers fans. And like you said, Daryl, I don't think the Joe fandom is at a point where it's really kind of has anything to be excited about. So... Mm-hmm. Putting it all on the Transformers fandom is not going to be successful.
Yeah.
But I would love to see them just, you know, make some new characters, make it be these familiar looking alt modes and just see what happens and, you know, not make a big deal about it.
Hmm. Yeah.
But I would trade all of this for a Back to the Future DeLorean Transformer. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, they need to do the DeLorean. They need to do Kit. You know, all of these are well before G.I. Joe and my references.
Yeah.
There's so many. Could make the A-Team van out of the Ironhide mold right now.
Oh. Just take my money.
All right. Well, thanks, Dinobot, for sending your voicemail in, and I hope we answered your question. So that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.